is ESPN PX.
Today.
From Scouts Inc., here's Jeremy Green.
No, Jeremy Green's not here. This is your insignificant moderator, Jay Soderberg. I am joined today with Matt Williamson. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic, and don't be calling yourself insignificant. Come on, man.
Well, that's my title on First Draft, and I felt like I needed to bring it over here to Football Today, as you and I will be holding down the fort. Jeremy Green is out on sick leave, and we hope all the best for him.
Absolutely.
Until he comes back, it'll be me and you holding down the fort here.
Well, that makes you pretty darn significant to me.
Well, all right. Well, maybe I'll call myself host of Football Today for now, part-time
cool.
host of Football Today.
I love it.
And an insignificant moderator I'll remain on ESPN's First Draft with Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay.
But those two egos.
Oh, wow. Taking a shot at Todd and Mel. Come on.
Especially Todd. I know Todd a lot better.
Well, then there you have it. Actually, I do remember there was one time, I think it was at the Senior Bowl, where we were supposed to have Todd on. And you were there with Todd, and
yep.
Todd wasn't answering his phone, and we had you banging on his door for us.
Yeah. I didn't make the Senior Bowl trip this year, but I certainly missed it. That's a good time. And, yeah, sometimes we did have to bang on each other's doors to get moving.
All right, so there you have it. Matt Williamson,
yep.
Scouts Inc., he's here, and we got a ton of stuff to get to today.
It's a monster show, brother.
Basically, we're going to be talking about free agency, restricted free agents, unrestricted free agents, anything you want to know about free agency. It starts tomorrow. Before we get really in-depth on free agency, a couple of headlines we're going to hit here in the Quick Slants.
Quick Slants.
And it starts with, you know, one of the biggest names in the NFL right now, and that would be Peyton Manning, who had a procedure to relieve neck pain caused by a pinched nerve. The Colts said in a statement, "This condition has existed intermittently for the past 4 years, but at no time did it interfere with his training, practice, or playing regimen. While it never has affected Peyton's activity on or off the field, the Colts medical staff, after post-playoff examination, thought it best to resolve the situation now." ESPN's Dr. Kaplan's assessment of the situation says that he should make a full and uncomplicated resolution of symptoms to enable return to throwing for the preseason.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's major, but when you have things like neck surgery and Peyton Manning all in the same sentence, it's kind of like, yeah, he had minor brain surgery. Well, it's not minor to him.
Right.
And it's not minor to Colts fans or Colt ownership. So anytime it's Peyton Manning, it's significant. I mean, if this was a backup nose tackle, we wouldn't be talking about it. But by all accounts, it shouldn't be an issue, hopefully.
Sticking with the Colts, they also hired Ron Turner as an assistant coach. His role is currently unspecified. Do you believe he'll be the successor to Mr. Moore?
Boy, that seems unlikely to me, just because they do such a great job traditionally of, you know, sort of promoting from within, knowing the system, you know, not really doing a lot of wholesale changes. So I don't know, at least initially, maybe this first year he kind of hangs with Peyton, gets to know things, and then they make him the coordinator. I don't know how they'll do that exactly, but it doesn't seem like you can just make him the successor now, you know?
And a quick related note to free agency, Gary Brackett and the Colts will continue their negotiations. They have until midnight to get a deal done, or he will be an unrestricted free agent tomorrow.
Yeah, this one, you know, I've gotten asked in my chats, and I've done a lot of free agency articles for ESPN.com and have mentioned him a couple times as somebody who could be overvalued or not real excited by what he sees if he does hit the open market. You look at Gary Brackett, he's not a young man anymore. If he walks in the room, he doesn't blow you away. He doesn't look like Brian Urlacher or, you know, a monster physical specimen. He's not incredibly gifted, and the older you get, those skills are going to continue to decline just like anybody else, but he's a very good football player. The issue with him to me is you look at the NFL, half the teams now run a 4-3, half are running a 3-4. All those 4-3 teams, more or less, are pretty set at the middle linebacker position. It's an easy position to find. You know, there's a lot of really good ones out there. So if you're in the Gary Brackett market, how many teams are really in the Gary Brackett market? You know, I don't think there's going to be a big bidding war going on. And in the end, I think he looks at the Colts, and the Colts look at him and say, we're best for one another.
There you have it.
Quick Slants.
from the Chicago Sun-Times. There's been lots of reports on this, but they seem to think the Bears are not ready to shop tight end Greg Olsen.
That surprises me. I'm sure Mike Martz is saying all the right things. We're going to use the tight end. You know, he said that other places, too. You know, we're going to use Vernon Davis. They didn't use Vernon Davis. He never uses the tight end. And maybe he is going to change his ways. But looking at the Bears right now, they don't have any resources. They have an awful lot of needs. They don't have first-round pick. They don't have a second-round pick. They've got, you know, the coaching staff and the GM and that group are all on the hot seat. So they need to get better quickly. So how do you do that? You need to either accumulate picks, be very, very aggressive in free agency, and I expect them to do the latter. But if you look at that football team, I kind of look at Olsen and Hester as two guys that I would shop because they are valuable. They're good football players. If you're not going to use the tight end heavily, you send Olsen to the Bengals or the Ravens, I think they'd give you a third-round pick in a heartbeat and maybe more. And Hester, to me, is sort of in that same vein, too, because Johnny Knox came on really strong. He's a similar type of player in terms of size and what they do on the football field. And I bet a lot of teams out there would love to have a Devin Hester.
I'll bet they would. Yeah. By the way, Greg Olsen, there's been rumors leaking him to the Patriots. I do not have a uniform waiting for Greg Olsen.
What's your problem there?
Well, I think he's a great tight end. I just don't think he fits in the Patriots system. I mean, the Patriots have succeeded without a tight end for so long. I don't think Olsen necessarily fits into the plans of what they like to do in that offense.
Yeah, you know what? What's interesting is I did an article 2 weeks ago about just filling in for the AFC East blog, and they asked me, why are the tight ends in that division so terrible? And first off, who knows? I mean, there's not a lot of resources dedicated to them. But I also think there's a reason behind that, is if you're in that division, I think it's the most physical division in the league. You know, there's going to be a lot of heavy run teams. Buffalo's going to be a run-first team, especially Miami and New York are heavy, physical, try to blow you off the football. So I think you need to keep up with the Joneses and have a physical banger tight end. And you also look at the division, the teams in that division, they almost now all of them run a 3-4. So your tight end needs to block 3-4 outside linebackers, 260, 250-pound former defensive ends who are really athletic. So I think you almost need a block-first guy in that division. So that's the route that most of the teams have gone. They haven't used, with the exception of Ben Watson, who's probably leaving town, they haven't used a lot of first-round picks or big money on tight ends.
I've got a plan for the Patriots, and I'll reveal it a little bit later on in this program.
Quick slants.
Redskins left tackle Chris Samuels is going to retire due to a neck injury.
Yeah, and once again, I did an article just yesterday on Chris Samuels' retirement, and great player. I certainly think it was time. I think he only appeared in 5 games this past season, missed a lot of time the year before. You start talking neck injuries and things of that nature, you have to defer to the doctors, but I think his play began to slip, and now you got Mike Shanahan coming to town. They're going to go back to that zone blocking, athletic, much different approach to running the football than what Chris Samuels is accustomed to. So I think it's a great time to get out with all those things considered. You don't want to be the old dog learning new tricks and tarnishing your reputation. My question is he a Hall of Famer? You know, I think he's not quite Orlando Pace. He's not Ogden. He's not Walter Jones of this generation, but he's probably fourth, and he's been awfully good and awfully consistent for a lot of years.
Interesting.
Quick slants.
The Jets say they will be releasing running back Thomas Jones on Friday.
I get it. I understand that Sean Green is very enticing. We saw, you know, what he can do in the playoffs. He's probably a better running back this second than Thomas
Jones.
But I don't agree with this move. You know, I think the Jets are going to be very much a run-first team again. They may lead the league in carries. Leon Washington's coming off an injury. They've spent an awful lot of money these last two off seasons. There's no cap this year. I don't understand why you don't bring him back at a lesser role, because he's really effective. I think he had 1,400 yards this past year. Somebody's going to get hurt. You know, what happens if Leon Washington doesn't come back all the way? Sean Green's never proven at this level that he can carry the load, and he was really only a one-year wonder at Iowa. You know, we saw the best of him and the worst of Thomas Jones in the postseason when one was completely worn out and one was completely fresh. But if you look at the big picture, I think you may need them all.
Quick slants.
Cardinals to release their former first-round pick safety Antrell Roll. That's according to Adam Schefter.
This is another one. Obviously, it comes down to money, but I don't agree with it from a football perspective. You know, just let's just look at the Cardinals roster from last year. And I'm going to put a lot of names out there that probably will not be Cardinals in 2010, most notably Kurt Warner.
Right.
Anquan Boldin's probably going to be gone. Mike Gandy's not a great football player, but he's your starting left tackle. You know, I think Bertrand Berry's going to retire, and the outside linebacker position is very old there anyways. Adrian Wilson is signed up, but you're probably going to lose Roll now. And you're almost definitely going to lose Carlos Dansby. That's a pretty strong list of good football players to take off a team. I don't know that you can afford to lose Roll. I understand they don't want to put a ton of money locked up in two safeties because Wilson is signed to such money, but letting him test the open market, I'd be pretty excited to land him in a lot of different places. I think he's still a player on the rise. He was a former first-round pick who's very, very talented, came to the league as a corner. People need to remember that he's still a work in progress at the free safety position. There's still a lot in front of him.
Quick slants.
Negotiations apparently have hit a snag between the Steelers and pending free agent safety Ryan Clark.
Yeah, I get asked this a lot here in Pittsburgh, and to me, they prioritized their offseason needs much like I would have. Hampton, Jeff Reed, and then Clark. I thought Clark had a pretty good year. He's extremely physical. But like I was talking about Antrell Roll, he's the polar opposite. I mean, this was an undrafted kid who isn't very big, isn't very fast, isn't very athletic, a self-made player who's probably peaked. You know, you need somebody who complements Polamalu really well. You need that smart guy who can kind of make Polamalu run around like a lunatic and be able to do the things that he does so well. But you know, Clark, I think, wants top 10 type safety money. He doesn't deserve that. He's as good as he's ever going to be. Somebody may pay him, but I don't think it's prudent for Pittsburgh to give him that kind of money. And hey, if you're going to spend big money on safety, I'd much rather have Antrell Roll here in Pittsburgh.
Quick slants.
Raiders coach Tom Cable says Jamarcus Russell will have to win back his quarterback job.
Yeah, because he stinks.
Well, that goes without saying.
I mean, if they were going to say you're the starting quarterback, then I've lost the shred of respect that I did have for that organization. So that's the obvious call.
Quick slants.
Veteran Kevin Mawai hasn't ruled out returning to the Titans as a backup. He's scheduled to become a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously very comfortable there. Situations like that, I mean, he's probably got 1 year left. My guess is his family's very comfortable there. They obviously have a lot of money stored away in the bank, you would think, from years and years of making millions of dollars. Maybe he just looks at things like, we're a pretty good football team, we're a contender, my family's happy here, let's do one more year, I can groom this kid and go from there. That would be my take on the subject. I bet somebody tries to make him a starter, although I don't know that that'll work out real well.
Quick slants.
According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, at the Combine, they found a consensus among NFL coaches and executives is that the Eagles will keep Donovan McNabb and Kevin Cobb.
Who knows? I don't believe anything I'm reading. First of all, we all know that pretty much from the combine until the second the draft happens, you can't believe anything. You know, so that means they're trading them both. You know, so I don't believe any of that. I sort of think that this is the year that you deal one or two of those guys. Vic in particular doesn't do them a lot of good. They're sort of close. Andy Reid's been around a long time. Let's make a run and get really strong at other positions as opposed to having the best backup quarterback in the league. I think I'd be more prone to trade McNabb than Cobb, but I would listen to either. You know, I think Cleveland would be really interested in Cobb. You're getting reports now that St. Louis would love to get McNabb. I think you make the move.
What about the recent comments by Michael Vick saying if he could pick a team, it would be the Carolina Panthers because he likes the unis?
Is that why?
I know that was one of the reasons why. But
I mean, I know he grew up in Virginia. That's close to home. He probably likes the weather, but he's not going to be able to pick his team. He's lucky he's in the league.
Right.
Yeah.
But what do we think, Michael Vick and the Panthers? Is that a good marriage? Is anywhere a good marriage for Michael Vick?
See, I'm not a believer. I mean, when he was at his best, whenever I saw him before he went away, I thought he was a middle-of-the-road, at best, starting quarterback that still had major deficiencies throwing the football, reading coverages. He did, obviously, we know how what he was with his legs. But what in this past year in Philadelphia makes anyone think that he's good? I mean, I didn't see anything in those snaps to say, wow, that's the Vic of old, or, boy, he's better than we thought. I just think it lends itself to saying, you know, there's such quarterback needs across the league that, yeah, if I'm St. Louis, if I'm Buffalo, and you're really bad at the position, I would throw a fourth-round pick at Philadelphia and still draft my quarterback of the future and see what happens. But I don't believe that, from what I've seen and from being in jail for 2 years, why all of a sudden do I think he's good enough? All, you know, I just don't see it. He hasn't shown me a thing to say that he's a legit starting quarterback.
Quick slants.
From the New Orleans Times Picayune, Sean Payton says that Reggie Bush will be back in 2010 in New Orleans. Mike Bell, by the way, was offered a low tender, but was undrafted, so they'll receive no compensation if he signs on with another team.
Yeah, I thought Bell might get a little bit better tender than that, but you have to remember, too, where they found him. I mean, they got him off the scrap heap. You know, Denver let him go. He's bounced around with a couple teams. His biggest attribute that is that he just runs so incredibly hard. You know, he gets those tough yardage for them, but that's a pretty replaceable guy. Bush isn't, though. And kind of like Gary Brackett when we started this conversation, I feel like Bush and the Saints are perfect for each other. Gary Payton was a point guard, wasn't he?
Yes.
Is an extremely innovative play caller, is tremendous at varying formations, personnel groupings. And that's what you need with Reggie Bush. He can't line up in the eye and give him 20 carries. He is what he is. He's injured a lot. He's a specialty player. But when he's on the field, he's very difficult to account for. You know, do you play base personnel against him? Do you go nickel and then they run the ball on you? So I think he causes a lot of problems. And both these guys, both player and team, should realize that it's the best situation for both of them.
Quick slants.
The Buffalo Bills have informed defensive end Ryan Denny, wide receiver Terrell Owens, and wide receiver Josh Reed that the team will not offer them contracts, making all three unrestricted free agents at midnight on March 5th. Ravens coach John Harbaugh at the Combine said that they're interested in wide receiver Terrell Owens in Baltimore, saying, quote, "We're interested in T.O. We're interested in all the guys that can make our team better. I think he's a good guy and a good player."
Well, they're going to a 3-4. That's a pretty obvious decision with Ryan Denny. Denny is an average 4-3 defensive end. He doesn't fit the 3-4 at all. So you let him get on his way. Somebody will pick him up probably as a rotational defensive end. T.O., you know, once again, a year ago, he floated around and nobody wanted him but Buffalo. I mean, so has he done anything in the last year besides get older to make us think that he is all of a sudden more attractive on the open market than he was a year ago? And he kept his mouth shut for a year. He had a good game or two. His supporting cast was terrible. I could see him in Baltimore, but I don't expect much out of him.
How about Ocho Cinco has been campaigning to get him in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I've heard that too. But to me, if you look at Terrell Owens, what is he right now? He's probably a low-end number two. And can he survive that way? You know, if they start, whatever team he goes to, if he starts to be a secondary receiver on that team, that just seems like a volatile mix to me. It just sounds like it's going to blow up. So,
you'd rather have T.O. or Josh Reed?
T.O. is a better football player than Josh Reed, but Josh Reed's not going to cause any weight. I'd rather T.O. Josh Reed's just a guy. And that's why they're letting him go. He's a number four receiver who never lived up to his draft status, but I don't want T.O. either.
Quick slants.
From NFL.com, Pac-Man Jones is going to work out for NFL scouts on March 19th. The cornerback whose troubled past has left him out of the NFL since the 2008 season will hold a pro day style workout in New Orleans following Tulane's pro day.
Good for him. I wish him all the luck in the world.
Quick slants.
From the St. Louis Globe Democrat, Shahid Khan is surprised by reports of the NFL having concerns over his deal to buy the Rams. Apparently, he has some debt. that the NFL is a little concerned about.
Okay.
Quick slants.
These are great. The league is apparently going to discuss a change in the overtime format. Is that even necessary?
I think it's necessary in the playoffs. You've heard these conversations for years and years. I don't know that I've heard of a format that I like better. And until somebody can present something to me to say, you know, this is the way we should do it, this is a great system, then I'm buying. But I'm open to suggestions.
Okay.
Quick slants.
Arizona
wishy-washy, huh?
That was a little wishy-washy. I am one that says, hey, you pay defensive players. If they can't stop the offense, then too bad.
Yeah, just a lot of there's a lot riding on a coin flip. But, you know, I haven't heard a better one.
Arizona drops out of the bidding for the 2014 Super Bowl. Apparently, New York now may be the number one contender, although Miami will apparently still bid for that Super Bowl, even without stadium renovations.
All right. Maybe you might be getting
well, all right. The better question is, do you want to see a Super Bowl in New York in an open-air stadium in February?
No, I don't. I'm an old-school guy, and I appreciate the bad weather games, and I kind of missed that in the NFC this year. There was no bad weather games. They're all dome teams and high-flying, and I felt like that was missed. But I'm also kind of a purist, too, when it comes to the Super Bowl. I don't want to play it on slop and mess, and you kind of want conditions to be optimal.
I mean, I kept bringing this up about the Miami Super Bowl, and, you know, the weather ended up being just fine, but I would have loved to seen an outdoor team versus the indoor team in sort of a sloppy mess and see how different the Super Bowl outcome would have been.
Yeah, I mean, it would add some intrigue to it, but that game I kind of just want to be the best players available without officiating, injuries, sloppy weather really being a factor.
Right. I think that's what we're getting at. The Super Bowl should be played in premium conditions. There shouldn't be, you know, weather should not be a cause for the winner of the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why you wait the 2 weeks beforehand, too, and you let everybody rest up and you know, hopefully everybody's on top of their game and you get the best both teams can provide.
Speaking of waiting 2 weeks.
Quick slants.
The 2011 Pro Bowl will be played in Hawaii again. However, they are going to play it the week before the Super Bowl. This is so ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I think so too.
There's no way the Super Bowl teams can be involved in this game at all.
Right, right. I mean, I remember you making the point that how many Pro Bowl guys did the Vikings have this past year?
Yeah, you know, there was like 12.
And if they make the Super Bowl, you know, that's a large portion of a roster, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I think even less guys are going to go. I thought this past year was a joke. I haven't watched the Super Bowl in 10 years or the Pro Bowl in 10 years. I'm not going to start next year. I think it's really flawed. And you know, some of these games out there are fine. You watch the hockey, the NBA one, nobody plays defense and they're kind of fun. But the NFL one, it's just such a violent game. I think something bad's going to happen in a Pro Bowl that, you know, we don't want to talk about.
All right. Enough of the quick slants. Let's talk about
football. Can we talk football?
Standing the topics with a wide open field. Go deep.
We're going to go deep here on free agency, everything you wanted to know and probably didn't want to know. I'm going to open us up here with a soundbite from Adam Schefter, who was on Mike and Mike in the Morning this morning on ESPN Radio.
The mindset that agents have to operate under is that tomorrow is the equivalent of December 23rd, okay? So there's a mad scramble to get everything bought before Christmas where people are paying a premium. And then on Saturday, it's December 24th. Sunday's Christmas Day, and on Monday, items begin to get marked down. That's the way free agency works.
Do you agree with that? Do you think people are going to overpay on Friday and then already on Monday prices will come down on some of these free agents?
Yes, and I couldn't agree more with the analogy, but from a different perspective, it is this weekend and draft weekend to me are Christmas, man. I think this is such a great time for the NFL. So many things happen. Being a personnel dork like I am, I love analyzing every move. Why would they do this? Would I do that? Does it make sense dollar-wise? Does he fit the system? Does he fit the team? And, yeah, I do think this year in particular, there's so much uncertainty that you could see the short-sighted teams really being aggressive, maybe too aggressive. And then I think you really get a lull, like most years, where you sit back and teams pick up guys at their prices. So, yeah, I see that being something that will happen this year more than ever because of all the uncertainty surrounding the whole situation.
Now, as these labor issues keep arising, the philosophy on the cap seems to have flip-flopped from the proponents of having the cap. It used to be that the owners wanted the cap and the players didn't. Now the players want the cap, and they want it more because of the minimum. There's no longer going to be a minimum amount that a team has to spend on the players on their team. That said, with no cap, do you expect to see some overspending here in this over this weekend?
Yes, I think every year you're going to see overspending, and there are some teams that are probably going to be very aggressive. Chicago comes to mind because, like we said earlier with them, they don't have a first-round pick. They don't have a second-round pick. They have every decision-maker is very much on the hot seat there. So what do? Maybe you give Julius Peppers more than he deserves. And, you know, a team like Washington comes to mind as well. You know, they're changing their defense to a 3-4. They desperately need some pieces to make that work. And, oh, by the way, their offense is atrocious, and their owner is very much about spending. They signed Haynesworth last year. They assigned their new coach, Shanahan, to a huge contract, and they're probably going to give him free reins to do more or less whatever he wants. So, you know, I think there's going to be teams that are going to be very aggressive right off the bat.
Now, just talking about the unrestricted free agents right now, the players that you do will not have to give up a draft pick to sign. They're free agents. Are there any players out there for a team, a couple of teams that you've already mentioned, to make a splash in free agency?
I think there's an awful lot of risk surrounding Julius Peppers because he is an inconsistent player that seems to get his sacks in bunches and goes away for periods of time. And I wonder what kind of, you know, motivation he's going to have after signing a monster deal. And, oh, by the way, he could potentially switch positions, which seems like bad business to me as somebody signing. But, of course, he's an impact player. He's still a great player. You put him on any team. You know, you are here Chicago, you hear Philadelphia. He would be very welcome on any team in the league and can certainly make a difference. I'm sure your Patriots wouldn't mind having him. You know, I don't think you'd have any complaints with that.
Well, it depends. If they remain as a 3-4 team, Peppers has never played stand-up linebacker before.
Right.
So that's where my concern would be with Peppers on the team. Now, if the Patriots, I mean, you've brought this up with me before, you know, Belichick's the kind of guy when the league zigs, he zags. Does he flip back to using a base 4-3 where I think the personnel, and especially if they were to add Peppers, would better fit that sort of system?
Yeah, I think that's a very possible situation for New England, but I also think we know that they're never going to be static on defense.
Right.
He always wants smart guys that are versatile. And that's never going to change. He's going to game plan on a week-to-week basis on what they need. And much like the Ravens, he's going to have a lot of movable chess pieces. But I could see them zagging when everybody zigs and put, you know, Brace and Wilfork in the middle there and let Mayo run behind those two hogs, much like, you know, Ray Lewis did back in his day behind Saragusa and those guys. I mean, I could see that being the foundation, that triangle in the middle of the field that they use a lot. And you add to Peppers as an edge rusher, and, you know, they're not real, real strong at the linebacker position right now. So that it's very possible, in my opinion.
Now, you have a lot of articles out on .com right now, some that are going to be coming out soon. Not to rehash what you've already printed out on .com, because we fully encourage everyone listening to this podcast right now to read your stuff on .com. That's what it's there for.
Sure.
Are there any other players out there besides Julius Peppers that you think stand out and could benefit a team looking for that type of player?
Well, I think we all know that it's a very weak market, and teams are very smart now, and they don't let quality players hit the market. And the way that things are set up this year, you have to be an older player in order to even get on the market. So most of these guys are going to be well past their prime. I think you're going to see a lot of two-year deals, things like that, because you don't know how long these players are going to last. You know, Carlos Dansby, of course, is a monster name. I like him, too. I think there's a little bit of risk with him as well. what system does he fit best? I think he can do all things well, but I'm not sure that he's, you know, a hammer middle linebacker. The Giants are thinking about signing him from what I understand. I don't know that he is a great fit there, but he's great on passing downs, and you're going to see a lot of players like him that are great against the pass. It's becoming a passing league, and you got to be tremendous on third down. You know, Peppers is that guy. Dansby's that guy. You know, there's a couple under-the-radar guys who aren't huge names that I think are going to be valuable players. There's two defensive linemen from Baltimore who are real stout run stuffers, tough. You know, Bobby Williams is a guard from Cincinnati, I think is a really good football player. Neal from the Patriots could be very valuable on a contender. There's a long list, of course, and we could talk hours and hours about each and every one of them, but it's not a very strong group.
So, since we know that the unrestricted free agent class is sort of weak, I started looking at the restricted free agents, and that's where I think there's a lot of value, especially depending on what tender certain players received. And so let's talk about some of these restricted free agents and some of the tenders that we already know about. Tenders, the deadline for a team to offer a tender, and when I say a tender, they can put a first and a third round tender on a restricted, that's the highest level tender for a restricted free agent. There's also a first round tender, I believe it's a third round tender, and then there's the original draft position tender. So as I mentioned already before with Mike Bell, where he was undrafted for the New Orleans Saints, they would not receive any sort of compensation if he decided to sign with a different team.
Correct.
Let's start here with the Chargers. And the Chargers, I don't know what they're doing at their running back position, but they've allowed LT to go. They've cut LT, and now they're not tendering Darren Sproles, which allows him to become an unrestricted free agent. According to the San Diego Union-Tribune, their tenders are going to be a first and a third on left tackle Marcus McNeil, linebacker Sean Merriman, and receivers Malcolm Floyd and Vincent Jackson. What's going on in San Diego?
Well, they got a lot of big-name guys up for restricted free agency, and you know, I think you're going to see a heavy trend that offensive tackles are going to get a very high tender and going to make it really tough for anybody to steal, you know, a Marcus McNeil. Vincent Jackson obviously deserves the highest tender you can give him. But, you know, what I was asking my chat, and I know we're going to kind of get to this with your team, is somebody asked me in my chat yesterday, hey, if you're the Pats, would you give up your first and third and go get Vincent Jackson? I might consider it. I mean, he's a guy in his prime. The Patriots have a desperate need there. You know, maybe Baltimore, maybe Cincy. Would you give up a first and third if you're those two teams? Miami for Vincent Jackson? I mean, he's a top 10 receiver, maybe better. I think that's very attractive. So they might get in a bidding war with him.
I mean, I don't know. I'm still not a true believer on Vincent Jackson. The Patriots, by the way, do not have a third-round draft pick this year.
I wonder how that works.
They would have to either get one or work out a deal in advance with the Chargers because, as we'll get to with one of these teams, you don't have to take the draft. You can work out where you don't have to take a draft. The Rams, as a matter of fact, they're asking for a second round pick for offensive tackle Alex Barron, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, although they have tendered him at the first round level. But apparently they only want a second round pick for Alex Barron
on the trade market.
Right.
Yeah, and another loophole that's kind of odd with the San Diego Sproles situation is because they franchised him last year, and don't exactly quote me, but they have to pay him more than they did a year ago. So
right,
that kind of screws things up as where you tender him from a restricted, you know, market, and in turn, they could lose both their starting tailbacks, both their, you know, prominent tailbacks from last year, and I can see why. I have no problem with them getting rid of Tomlinson. I think he's done. Sproles isn't a bell cow guy, and because of, you know, franchising him last year, it might just not work out financially for him, considering all these other restricted guys that they have a lot tied in. And Malcolm Floyd, to me, kind of feels like maybe they're worried that Vincent Jackson does get scooped up or they get in a bidding war for him, and they're going to over-tender a guy like Floyd just because they can't afford to lose both.
Now, Darren Sproles, I mean, you brought up Reggie Bush with the Saints. Darren Sproles is the kind of guy, though, if he's put in the right system, he could have the same sort of impact as like a Reggie Bush in New Orleans, don't you think?
Yeah, I think Bush is better at what he does as a receiver, as a wide receiver. I think Reggie Bush is as much wide receiver as he is running back, maybe even more so. Where Sproles,
But Sproles brings something in the return game.
He does, and so does Bush. You know, I think they're both similar. I think it's a good comparison, but I would rather have Bush lined up against a safety or a linebacker running routes than I would Sproles.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a similar situation, and I think there's a lot of teams that would love to have a Sproles. Like, Cincinnati comes to mind immediately is, you know, you got a big, heavy Cedric Benson-type guy. The offense has a hard time creating big plays. Maybe you add a big play running back in addition to, you know, more pass catchers. So I think there'll be a big market for Sproles, too.
In Cleveland, Adam Schefter is reporting, according to a league source, they're going to put second-round tenders on safety Abram Elam and linebacker Matt Roth, who they recently claimed off waivers from Miami.
Yeah, Roth played really well there, and I think he kind of found a home. He's a hustle player, and I just think they're afraid to lose him. Pass rushers are hard to replace. And Abe Elam, I'm not sure exactly how he came in the league, but I think he was undrafted or was a very late-round pick. So you have to tender him a little bit high in order to keep him, you know, because you can't get nothing in return for these guys. And he's obviously a Mangini favorite because he was part of the deal for Sanchez. He brought him with him over from the Jets. So I think they know what they have there. They like him, and they don't want him drifting away.
The Raiders have curious tenders. They tendered Bruce Kradkowski to a second-round tender. I don't think that's outrageous. But they did place a first- and third-round tender on cornerback Stanford Rout, second-round tenders on linebackers Thomas Howard and Ricky Brown, and Pro Bowl long snapper John Kondo, and only a third-round tender on linebacker Kirk Morrison, who I believe has been their leading tackler. If not last year, he has been their leading tackler in recent years. And they put an original round tender on offensive lineman Chris Morris. What do you think about that? Kirk Morrison is not going to be a Raider next year at third round tender.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. You know, if you were, we talked about the middle linebacker 4-3 guys that I don't think there's going to be a big market for those players, but that's pretty attractive for a proven player who's productive year after year. I'm not sure exactly what the thinking is there, but it's been pretty obvious over the last year or so that Morrison's fallen out of favor with Al Davis or Cable or whoever, and I'm just not real sure why. I don't know that maybe they think they need a superstar at that position, and he's just an average middle linebacker for a 4-3. You know, the Stanford Rout one, I think that comes down to the position he played. You know, he's fast, he's big, he's a typical Al Davis draft pick who ran really well at the combine. He looks good in shorts, but he's been slow to come along. I think he does have a future, and they think he's probably starting material sooner than later. Corners aren't easy to find. But all in all, to sum up the Raiders, yeah, once again, peculiar moves by the Raiders, and it's not a big shock that they don't win many football games.
The Panthers tendered linebacker Thomas Davis and quarterback Matt Moore with first and third round picks. A little interesting here, I think. Do they believe Matt Moore is the future of their franchise?
I think you got to find out. And if you did it any less than that, you could risk losing him. Then what do you got? You got Jake Delhomme throwing six picks a game. That's a problem. You know, I think Moore has a very good chance to be the answer. Of these guys that, you know, that could emerge this next year, I think Moore could be a very solid starting quarterback. I don't think he's going to go to Pro Bowls. I think you know Carolina is going to be a run-first team. I think he can value the football, distribute it where it needs to be. He throws the ball well. He was pretty impressive to me in limited views, you know, to end this season. So I think that's the right tender for him. And same with Davis. Davis is an up-and-coming player. He's a very good linebacker who was having a tremendous year before he got hurt. So those tenders make a lot of sense to me.
The Broncos have placed first-round tenders on wide receiver Brandon Marshall, quarterback Kyle Orton, right guard Chris Kuiper, but a first and third round tender on Elvis Dumervil.
Only a first round tender. Off the market. What's that?
Only a first round tender though for Brandon Marshall. That sounds like they're ready to let him go.
Yeah, that leaps off the page at you, and that's screaming for him to leave. And I'd be really shocked if he's a Bronco next year. And we talked about a couple teams, you know, especially if you're a late first-round team in need of a receiver. You know, you know, your Patriots make an awful lot of sense. You know, the Ravens, Cincy, Miami, there's a long list of teams that are receiver-starved. You know, I mean, I wouldn't give up a top-10 pick for him because you got to remember, I mean, he's one more bad boy episode from getting really suspended. You know, he already has a strike or two against him. And that worries you. But if you're a contender, do you think Joe Flacco would like to have Brandon Marshall for a first-round pick? I mean, he's going to help him a heck of a lot more than a guy like Brandon Tate or Aurelius Ben or somebody like that immediately. So I don't think that's going to hesitate teams from going after Marshall.
All right, well, I'm playing armchair GM here for the Patriots, and I think it's a no-brainer that with the first-round pick, the New England Patriots select Brandon Marshall. I think that's a no-brainer. Randy Moss going into his final year, at least you have Moss, Edelman, and Marshall this year, with Welker coming probably not until November, and even if he does, he's probably not 100% in November. And then if you do decide that Moss is too old and you're going to let him walk at the end of, you know, this season, then you've got Brandon Marshall as his replacement. I mean, I can't see how no other team, and you just mentioned a bunch of others as well, would not want to spend their first round pick, especially if receiver's a need. Receiver in this year's draft seems to be fairly weak.
Yeah, it really works for me if you are an end of the first round team. You're a good football team that needs a receiver, and three of them that jump off the page are New England, Cincy, and Baltimore. And I think all those make a ton of sense for him. I love your scenario. I would do it. You have three second round picks if you're New England. If you can get that receiver need taken care of, you're set for the long term. You know, it gives you the ability to let Moss walk if he so chooses, and you also have the Tate kid you drafted last year who could emerge.
Right.
So, yeah, you need weapons for Brady to throw to. You're light at tight end. I say do it. I bet you'd be doing jumping jacks if they did that.
Oh, my God. If they get Brandon Marshall is my dream. And then the Patriots have three second-round draft picks, and the Jets only placed a second-round tender on Leon Washington. I'm giving my in-division rival a second-round pick, and I'm taking Leon Washington as one of my running backs, and I'm saying I'm going to spread out on almost every single down. I'll re-sign Kevin Faulk, and I'll have Leon Washington and Kevin Faulk as my main backs. And then when I do need a bigger back, I have Fred Taylor, who I'm not running, you know, 25, 30 times a game, maybe only giving him 10, 15 carries a game. And I'm perfectly content with that.
Yeah, I like the Marshall scenario better, or even Vincent Jackson, who I mentioned earlier, would cost you a first and a third.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is a double-edged sword in your favor, too. Not only do you get a dynamic playmaker who could eventually be your Kevin Faulk. He's not going to last forever, but he's a lot more dynamic. He's a great returner. But you kill the division rival. You know, the Jets are a serious competition to the Patriots. They're already letting Thomas Jones go, who I mentioned a half hour ago is I didn't agree with.
Right.
And I wouldn't be happy at all if I'm a Jets fan and I go into next year with Sean Green and say a second round running back that you get from the Patriots, you know, somebody that you draft. I mean, that's
right.
Not much experience for blitz pickup, you know, for 16 game season, rookie wall scenarios. Yeah, I think they're leaving themselves pretty vulnerable there with Leon. And I like your call. Be aggressive. You still have 2 second round picks. So in the first round, you get Marshall. Second round, you get Leon Washington. You use your 2 second round picks on an outside linebacker or something on defense, whatever.
Right.
And oh, by the way, you could still find Julius Peppers or any free agent out there. I mean,
right.
That's not even free agency talk.
I just think, you know, you add those two people to the Patriots offense. Now I'm outscoring you, and I'm daring you to try and outscore me. My defense is okay as is. If
but you
can
still improve it.
And if I can still improve it with adding those two on my offense, sorry, folks, but you're going to hear a lot of me on this podcast talking about my Patriots.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are going to be very, very aggressive this offseason. Yeah, they've kind of done the quantity over quality offseasons of late. I think that's going to change, and they're going to go nail 2, 3, 4 difference makers like you're talking about. And also, don't forget, they have the Raiders' first-round pick in 2011. So that could be a top-5 pick for sure. You know, that's the worst organization in the world. So they have a lot of assets to go up in the draft if there's somebody they really like, or to go sign these restricted guys and take a win-now scenario. You know, you could trade the Patriots' first-round pick in 2011 and still probably have a top-5 pick in that draft. Your guys are sitting pretty, and you know Belichick's not going to be bashful.
It's going to be great. We're running short on time here, but a couple of other big-name tender players. Adam Schefter reporting the Colts are placing the first-round tender on safety Antoine Bethea.
It's an absolute need. You can't count on Bob Sanders at all. You're a Super Bowl contender, obviously, and it's a nice situation for them because they don't have to deal with the cap in the first time in forever. You know, the guys like Peyton Manning who crush your cap don't this year, so you can be, you know, a little less frugal with people like him. And he's a very good player. They need him because of Bob Sanders, for sure.
Perhaps tipping their cap a little bit, the Redskins are apparently going to place a first-round tender only on Jason Campbell.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, he's not a great player, but I feel for him. He's had so many offensive systems. I don't know that he's really been given a chance to succeed. You look at him last year, I thought he played pretty well behind one of the worst lines in the league, no running game, you know, all the dysfunction that goes on down there. I could see why you want to go get Bradford Clausen and somebody like that, start from scratch, somebody with more upside. But if I was in charge of Washington, I probably would keep Campbell for the year, use that early pick on Russell Okung, you know, a left tackle type,
right,
and see what you have and give the guy a chance to flourish. I mean, he's a former first-round pick that does have the tools, but just putting a first-round tender on him, that's sort of attractive. But the other issue is, you know, the teams that need heavy, heavy quarterback help are picking so high in the draft. You know, the Rams aren't going to give you the first pick in the draft for him. You know, the Bills aren't going to give up that high a pick for him. So you're probably still pretty safe. But it's interesting.
The Dolphins, according to Adam Schefter, will give a first-round tender to Ronnie Brown.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't trust Ronnie Brown. I mean, he was a split-back player at Auburn. He's never shown that he can be a true workhorse. But he's still very good. I also see him declining quicker than people realize, too. But yeah, that's a fine tender for him.
Adam Schefter also reporting first-round tenders in Baltimore for offensive tackle Jared Gaither and fullback LaRon McClain.
Yeah, McClain's a very good player that, you know, deserves the football in his hands a little more. He showed that 2 years ago. He does a lot of things well. He's a real banger. He fits their persona. Gaither would worry me, though. You know, if you're the Colts, you know, you're picking 31st, I'd give up the 31st pick in the draft for Jared Gaither.
Mm.
And he's a true left tackle with an awful lot of upside to him. They might regret that one and went a little low.
Adam Schefter, it's been busy on these tenders. The Titans will reportedly be giving first-round tenders to Stephen Tulloch and tight end Bo Scaife. Lendale White and Kevin Vickerson were tendered at the second-round level.
Yeah, that about all adds up. I don't have a whole lot to add on that front. I don't think Scaife was in the same situation as Sproles, where he was franchised last year and they had to bump him up. And I think his value is that him and Vince Young are buddies because they drafted Cook last year, who looked really, really strong. I think he'll eventually go right past Scaife. But that offense is pretty set. I really like what they have on offense right now there.
Steelers give a first-round tender to Willie Colon.
Yeah, he's a lot better football player than people realize. He's clearly their best offensive lineman, and he's got a lot in front of him. You know, he came from Hofstra, so he's still been a work in progress, and he progressed very rapidly this past season. It would worry me that they didn't offer him enough, except that he's a pure right tackle, and they just don't have the same value. So that should work out for all involved, and I would expect them to lock him up.
And the last report on tenders we have is the Green Bay Press Gazette. Reported cornerback Tremone Williams will get the first-round tender. Running back Deshaun Winn will not receive a tender, so he's an unrestricted free agent, and have notified the agent for Will Blackman that the cornerback return man will receive the low tender, meaning the original round in which he was drafted.
Yeah, that adds up as well. There's been some injury issues with Blackman. I don't know if they can trust him to be on the field a lot, but he's a very good special teams player. Winn's very replaceable. They're very light at corner, so I don't think they can afford a lot of change there, and their first-round pick very well could be a corner. You know, when Al Harris went out, all of a sudden they were giving up some serious passing yards to the Steelers, obviously to Arizona. That needs to be fixed. You know, Woodson's not young at all, neither is Harris. They need to get young and good at the corner position. So I think that's why they're, you know, maybe tendering Williams a little higher than you would think.
So there you have it, folks. That's free agency in a nutshell. I think we, I, I we tried to at least hit a bunch of players, and hopefully there wasn't too much Patriot talk in there to receive the Patriot hater mail that I normally receive.
They're going to be a real player this year, though. I think you need to bring them up.
Hopefully that helped you guys out there. Free agency starts tomorrow. It's going to be an interesting weekend. We probably should do a podcast on Monday, but we won't. We'll wait until Thursday next week. We'll see if there's what sort of free agents get signed over the weekend and through the week. It'll be me. It'll be Matt Williamson. And to Jeremy Green, we wish the best and hope for a speedy recovery.
Absolutely. And this was fun. We went pretty deep. And we just scratched the surface, too. It's such a monster topic. And we'll be hitting it hard again next Thursday.
So send those emails, footballtoday@espnradio.com. Let us know what you're hoping your team will do, what your team has done at that point, and if you agree or disagree with it, or agree or disagree with anything Matt and I have had to say in this past almost hour. with that...
One quick scenario for you.
Go ahead.
You're the Rams.
Yes.
And we're not going to get too deep in this, because it's a huge conversation with what to do with the first-round pick, but... Would you give up number 33 for Donovan McNabb? And if you're the Eagles, would you do it? First pick in the second round. That's a really valuable pick.
Absolutely.
I think I'd do it if I was both teams.
I do it in a heartbeat.
If you're Philly?
If I'm the Rams.
If I'm Philly?
Give
me Sue and McNabb in the first two rounds.
If I'm Philly and I'm getting the first pick in the second round, which would now be the first pick on Friday.
Right. And you're going to entertain all kinds of trade offers for it.
Yeah.
You don't pay the guy nearly as much as that first round. It's a very valuable pick.
Yeah, you know what? I think I do it.
Yeah.
I think you have to.
Yeah. Give me Sue and McNabb at the first two picks.
Wow.
That's not too bad.
That would be a pretty big swing if you're the St. Louis Rams.
Absolutely.
That's why you need Matt Williamson in your front office, St. Louis.
I'm happy where I'm at.
All right, folks. For Matt Williamson from Scouts, Inc., I'm Jay Soderberg. There you have it.
All right, buddy.
The music provided on today's show is from Mevio's Music Alley, Will Chryski's Metal Mayhem. Check it out at music.mevio.com. For more football talk, be sure to check out Football Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNradio.com.